You know, many of you are going to hear things you've never heard before this week. You're going to hear things that you've never heard before. People are going to say things and you're just going to be completely blown away. That will have come from left field and you won't have seen it. And some of you are not even going to hear many of the things that are going to be said. Some of you think you're pretty sharp and you're not going to hear half of what's going to be said either. But many of you particularly are going to hear things you've never heard before this week, and you need to realize that. Many of you are here because God is the owner of all the cattle on all the hills. Or at this time, he is in control of all the money. It's not the mint in Denver, but it's God who controls the money. And many of you are here because God wants you here. Many of you are going to hear things you've never heard before. And many of you are going to hear things that you have heard before. A lot of you are going to hear things you've heard before. My challenge for you is, what are you going to do with it? This wasn't given to you just for you to hear it and write it down in a notebook. Writing it down is not doing it. What are you going to do with it? You're going to hear somebody say something you've heard before, and the tendency is going to be to go, click. Man, I got this. I've heard this before. I got this one. But my challenge to you is, what are you going to do with it? Right now, all of us are facing struggles while we're here. And let me just share a few of them with you. Some of you are tired. Some of you are worn out. And you know what's going to happen? That's going to lead to a bad attitude. And pretty soon you're going to start griping. Man, we had hamburgers for lunch. Or, you know, they just don't have the right kind of mustard. You know? Or, man, I wanted a plain bun. You ever notice how many silly things you'll say when you're tired? Or the things you'll do when you're tired? And what's going to happen is, you're going to start grumbling. You're going to start griping and grumbling. And grumbling and griping is sin. It's wrong. It's just wrong. So you better watch it, because a lot of you are tired. And that's going to be a problem for you. So you need to go to bed tonight. You've got 7 days to talk with them. Tonight, not now, but tonight, go to sleep. A lot of you are going to be tempted to sleep in these sessions. You want to sleep in the bed, not in the chair. Now, it's last night you slept in a chair, but from now on, you get to sleep in a bed. Some of you are unknowns. Some of you don't know hardly anyone here, and you're an unknown person. That's what you're going to feel like. I'm an unknown. And you're going to feel out of place at first, and that will equal, or translated, I'm not cared for. And that's not true. That's just not true. So some of you are an unknown at this point, and you're going to think that nobody cares about me. And you're going to be tempted with that one. And if you're not careful, that's going to ruin your week. And you are cared for. It's just, we don't know you yet. Give us a chance to know you before you shut off. Some of you are going to get sick. It's a dry climate. Some of you are going to have a sore throat. Some of you came up here having not slept for 2 nights or having burned the candle at both ends, and you're going to get sick. And that could ruin your week. But don't let it. Don't let it. Some of you didn't get to stay where you want to stay. Man, I'm in Bighorn again. Nuts. You know, you're going to forget that God just came up with $260 to bring you here. You know, we have short memories. Some of you wanted to stay in the castle and you didn't get to stay in the castle. And that's going to ruin your week. You're going to think, I don't count. I just don't count because I'm in Glenview. Or I don't count because I'm in a room with 5 guys and we got to share a bathroom. We're in the castle, but we got to share a bathroom. And so for some of you, that's going to ruin your week. It's going to get you off to a terrible start, and about Thursday you're going to wake up and go, oh no, we go home tomorrow. The enemy's very tricky, and we play into his game a lot. Some of you, that certain person is not showing you enough attention. And you're mad. and you're hurt. That's right. Or that group isn't including you. You know, they decided to go to the bowls, or they decided to go hiking, and they didn't ask me. You know, you have a mouth, and you have feet. You can go. Now watch it, watch it. Now there may be a guy here, a girl, that you want him to pay attention to you, and he's paying attention to someone else. Or there may be a girl here, that guy, you want her to pay a little more attention to you, and you talk to her. And she's not doing that. And also, there may be that group of people, or guys, there may be that guy that you want to get to know, or you want to be close to, and he is close to other people. And you're going to get irked about it. It's going to ruin your week. You know how I know that? Because I've done that. And I don't think you're a whole lot different than me. See, I got the book on you, because I got the book on me. And we're a lot alike. Don't let that do that. Some of you are upset because you're not on the program. Man, they passed me up again. Look at that dude that's up there. All right? Some of you are going to buy into that. I'm not on the program, therefore, I'm going to get back at them. And you know how I'm going to get back at them? I'm going to have a long face and I'm going to pout. And I'm going to make sure. You know one thing about pouting? We do it in such a way that we make sure other people know we're doing it. Because if we did it alone in our room, nobody would know and it doesn't accomplish anything. Or we'll stay in our room if we know someone else knows we're in our room. And we get attention. It's another way to get attention. Some of you are going to ruin your week because you're going to pout because you're not on the program. Do you know I wasn't on the program until just a few minutes ago? And I had to deal with that one. So that's why I know you. Some of you are having a problem with it. Some of you are going to struggle with the fact that everything is a little bit different here. The songs that we sing, they're not the songs we sing. They're not our songs. Therefore, I just can't worship. Not like I could. Or they sing them differently. You know, that guy, he just plays, it's just not played right. It's not fast enough. It's not with the right tune. And that's going to bother you. And that's going to hurt you. And that is going to be a stumbling block for you. There's some other things that are just going to be, they're just going to be different. They're going to be unknowns. We're going to do some things differently. And that's going to be hard for you. And you're going to have to make a decision as to whether you can live with that or whether you're going to let that ruin your week or be a division for you. Some of you, the glen isn't yet what it might have been cracked up to be. You know, the castle's not as big as they said it was. You know? It's not, you know, it's that never is. And it gets smaller every time you come. Something I want to tell you for those of you who've never been here before. Some people are running around here just, man, they just, their whole countenance changed when they entered the gate. I mean, isn't this the greatest place on earth? They're so excited, and you're going, I don't know. It's nice. Some people have a tradition here. They've been here before, and they're picking up where they left off. Some of you will have a tradition after this year. Give it some time. Don't let that. You know, sometimes I react the opposite way. Somebody's really excited about something, and they're so excited that what I do is I get unexcited. You ever do that? And I just hurt myself. They're having a great time, and I'm unexcited because I want to prove to them because that this isn't the best place I've ever been to. So I'll spend the whole week showing them that. And for some of you, that's going to ruin your week, or it's going to get you off to a really bad start. Don't do it, because these people who've been here before, that isn't going to bother them at all. They're going to have a great time. So give it some time. And this may not be the greatest thing you've ever been to, or the greatest place you've ever been to. And that's not important. But don't let that be a stumbling block toward what God wants to do in your life this week. Some of you are preoccupied with the future. you're getting ready to graduate and you can't see anything else. And you're nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. And you want God to write it out in the sky. Or maybe to write it out in snow as it falls or something, I don't know. Or somebody to say something. And you're going to miss a whole lot because you're so nervous about the future. And some of you, if it doesn't snow tomorrow or the next day, you're going to be ruined for 2 or 3 days. You just are. And you're not going to hear anything because what you came here for didn't happen. Now be careful on that one. We can't make it snow. And so you need to deal with that one tonight. Skiers, you need to deal with that one tonight. You really do. You need to lay that one before God and deal with that one. Or that's going to be a real stumbling block in the way of what God can do in your heart this week. The key thing that you want to do while you're here this week is to meet God. You need to meet God. Meet God in the sessions. Meet God in the mountains. Meet God as you talk to someone else. Meet God as you serve someone. Meet God as you clean dishes downstairs. Meet God as you meet someone new. You need to meet with God. Meet God as you get in time alone in your quiet time, as you review your verses, as you sing. But you need to meet God. You've got that opportunity, you know, all semester long, everything's eating on you. A chem test, an English paper, a lab report, you name it. Right now, nothing's eating on you like that right now. And if it is, if you left something back in Norman or Manhattan or Emporia or Oklahoma City that's undone, that's got to be done on the Monday when you get back, you know something? You can't do anything about it. Unless you brought it. I mean, you can sit and worry about it, but no pen is going to pick up or pencil and write it out for you while you're here. No matter how much you worry, it's not going to help, and you're just going to ruin your week. So you need to meet God. And this is an opportunity for real accelerated growth. This is an opportunity for accelerated growth in your Christian life. But, there are many things like we've talked about that can really detour you. Did you know that you're one of the most privileged people on the face of the earth tonight? And did you know that you're one of the most privileged people in the history of the world? Now, grasp that. We're sorry people. And you know how I know that? Because I am. You know, we'll complain because maybe a certain speaker's not here or because it doesn't snow or because I didn't get the right place to stay. And there are people in the history of the world who would have given their life just to have had a Bible. They would have given a year's salary to have come to a place like this. There are people on the earth right now who would give that, who can't. And you are among the privileged. And if it's one thing Americans are sorry about is we're self-centered and selfish, we're complainers and we gripe, and we don't have a correct perspective of what we've got. God says, to whom much is given, much will be required. You better put that one gets in your craw and it better stay there. Because you guys are special people. You're privileged people. Now, you're not any better than anybody else. But God has given you opportunities. And what are you going to do with them? When you stand before God, what are you going to say? God, I'm sorry, but, you know, they put me in Bighorn and that upset me. You better think serious about that. You better get some time alone tonight and decide what you're going to do. I want you to know something. You don't think this is true, but you are in control of your life. You have a choice as to how you're going to respond in any given situation. Oh, that person made me be this way. If they hadn't have been this way, I wouldn't be this way. That is wrong. If you have average, if you're a person that's mentally average, you know, and you don't have, you know, that and you're okay mentally. Now listen, I'm not trying to be funny on that one. But if you're of average mental ability, you've got the choice to choose as to how you're going to respond. And you better believe, and you better deal with that. Nobody can make you respond wrong. You can choose. And you know something? Your life is going to be a series of choices that you're going to make from here on out. And you better start. If you've not realized that, you better start realizing it now. And if you've got a bad attitude about something, you can choose to have the right attitude. You've got the power to do it, and you can do it. Then you need to choose to respond rightly. I want to share some verses with you that I think are really important for this week as we prepare our hearts. That's what I'm supposed to be helping you with, is preparing your heart for this week. And in Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to read some verses there from Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1 and go through verse 9. Okay, I'm going to start reading when you guys finish turning your pages, because I want to have all your attention. So we'll wait just a second. You know, several years ago when I was in Fort Worth, I was told, some friends of ours came back from a retreat here at the Navigator Castle, and I never thought I would be here. I couldn't see a way I would ever be here. And now this is my third time. And so this is a real special thing for me to be here, and a real privilege. And so, and I want you to know that I consider it a privilege to get to speak to you tonight. And I just want you to know that I never thought I'd be here either. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the other people stood on the shore. Okay, you get the picture. Jesus had been teaching these people, but so many people were there that they couldn't see him. You know, they didn't have something that raised him up. They were all on the same level, and he was too, so they couldn't see him. So Jesus got out into a boat, and that changes kind of the level of things. And he pushed himself out into a boat, and so he's out on a boat, and he's talking to some people who are on the beach. So get that mental picture of what he's doing. Jesus was a real person who lived at a real time, who did real things, who went to bed just like you will tonight, who ate food just like you did. He's a real person. And I'm saying that because I want you to know that that was the hinge on which my life turned. When I realized that Jesus was a real person, everything else fell into place, and I committed my life to Christ. Because if he's a real person, then the things he did have a real impact on my life. I mean, he raised from the dead. If he was a real person, then I have to deal with that. So for me, the reason I'm saying that is because I want you to grasp that. I want you to grasp that he's a real person. You need to realize that. It's real easy to kind of subtly not believe that. But he's a real person, lived at a real time, and did real things. So he's out in a boat, and he's going to teach these people. It says, then he told them many things in a parable, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Now, in the old times, you know, people scattered the seed by hand. And now we have these big machines that do it. But I guess if he was teaching it now, he'd say a farmer went out into his field with his... Somebody tell me, what do they call that machine that puts out seed in the ground? Huh? A who? A drill. A drill? Is that right? Okay. A guy went out into his field... and he got into his big machine called a seed putter outer, or a drill, and he started putting the seed in the ground. Okay, so that would be maybe more what he would say today. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Fell among weeds, and weeds tend to grow faster. And they grew up, took up all the sunshine and all the nutrients out of the ground, and they choked it out. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, is Jesus talking about the deaf people in the crowd? You know? Now those of you who can hear me, listen to what I'm saying. And those of you who can't hear, well, this is just not for you. No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is there's some people out there who aren't hearing what he's saying. Have you ever been in class and you're sitting there and you go, what did he say? What did he say? You missed it? Well, It's like that, but it's different than that, in that they weren't really catching what he was, the significance of what he was saying. It wasn't that they weren't actually maybe hearing the words, but they weren't catching the significance of what he was saying. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And he wasn't talking to deaf people, like I said. He was talking to people who had good ears, just like you do, who hear real well, but they don't perceive so well. And one of the things he's teaching here is about people who don't know Christ. And that the seed of the gospel, the seed of the story of who Jesus is, the seed of what God has done in Jesus Christ, that is being cast out into the world. And it's falling on the ears and the lives of everybody who hears it. And in some people's lives, it's going to fall on the path. And the birds are going to swoop down and pick it up. It's going to be told to them, but they're not. It's not going to take root. They're not going to hear it. Somebody's going to come along and say, "Ah, don't give me that stuff." And they're just going to roll along and say, "Yeah, I don't want to believe it either." And they're just going to roll along. And then some people, it's going to fall in rocky places. They're going to have a little bit of soil, and they're going to, "Oh yeah, that's great. I want to do that. I want to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm really going to commit my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm really going to serve him." And then maybe a few months later, you can't find them. If you go to see them, man, they don't want to see you. It sprung up quickly, but it didn't have any root to it. No commitment to it. And they let it go. And then there's some places where it's going to fall on shallow soil. And the same idea, basically, where it's going to spring up, but it doesn't have any root. And the plants were scorched. And that's the idea where when persecution comes along, they'll have accepted the gospel to an extent. But when they get persecuted and people will say things like, "You mean you're going to get religious?" They want their old life more than they want to trade it for the new life. And so they'll go back to the old way and they'll punt what they've heard about Jesus. They'll punt the life. And then some other fell among the thorns, the weeds. You know, people, maybe they really wanted to commit their life to Jesus, but they wouldn't come out of their old life. They wouldn't allow God to change their life. And they still were doing the things they were doing before. And pretty soon they were doing the things they were doing before. And that's all there was to it. And it just got choked out. And then the last one, of course, is it falls on the person who's ready and commits his life to Jesus Christ as the boss and savior of his life and begins to walk with God. And God begins to change his life. And he begins to taste a little bit of heaven now on earth. And he begins to walk with God, and God begins to change him, and wonderful things start to happen in his life. Some of you here tonight don't know Jesus. You've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. Some of you have never really nailed that down. You've never given your life to Christ. And so for you, God is going to give you the most wonderful opportunity you've ever had to commit your life to Jesus Christ and to begin real life. To begin real life. I remember my life before I was a Christian, it's kind of like a shadow. It's kind of like a dream. So for some of you, you're going to be challenged, and God is going to sow the seed in your life of committing your life to Jesus Christ as the boss and savior of your life. And some of you are going to come to know Jesus Christ this week. And you're going to begin real life. It's going to be great. And then, for the rest of you, there's a real big principle here. The principle is hearing what God has to say and it having an impact on you. What kind of soil are you this week? What kind of soil will you be, or are you? What kind of soil are you? And that's the challenge. As we talk about your heart preparation, I want to ask you what kind of soil you are. What kind of soil are you this week? That's why I wanted to start with the stumbling blocks first. Let's get those out of the way, and let's see what kind of soil are you. Are you going to hear what's being said? Is it going to fall among the rocks? And when you get back, and you're going to make all kinds of commitments while you're here, but when you get back, it's gone. It's gone. They're going to fall among the weeds, the cares of life when I get back. Oh, no, I got all these tests and all these papers and everything. Everything's going to just kind of fall away. You're going to get back to your commitment of making money in the easy life, and you're going to just punt the rest of the stuff. You're going to punt Jesus, basically. Or are you going to be the good soil? And I want to ask you a question. What affects your soil? what affects the kind of soil that you have. And we talked before about the stumbling blocks. Well, those kind of things affect the soil that you're going to have this week. And what kind of things, and I want you to ask yourself that question when you get some time alone. What kind of things affect my attitude? What kind of things affect the soil in my life? You might begin to think through again some of the things that I said at the beginning. How will these affect how I'm going to hear this week? How will they affect the soil of my life, of my heart, of who I really am as the seed is sown? I want you to think about what causes you to order up a load of gravel. You know, that's what you're doing. You know, when you start grumbling about where you're staying, when you start grumbling about this, that, or the other, or this, that, or the other gets you bent out of shape, what you've done is you've gotten on the phone to the Acme Gravel Company. Hey, I need a load of gravel down here in my heart. I want to make sure I don't learn anything this week. So what causes you to order up a load of gravel? What are the things? Now, I want you to write that down, and I want you at some point soon to make yourself a list of what are the kind of things that cause me to order up a load of gravel. To call a gravel company and order them up. You know, they're blasting over here. And what would cause you to call them and get in on their special? And Satan has specials this week. He'll give you a coupon. 2 for 1. 2 loads for the price of 1 this week. Because he doesn't want you to learn anything. Least of all, anything that's really going to change your life. He doesn't want that. So he's going to work on you ordering a load of gravel. And you've got a choice as to whether to pick up the phone or not. What are the things that are barriers to your hearing? What's going to cause you to load up a load of gravel? And those are the things that are barriers to your really hearing. Think about it. You know what those things are. And if you don't, ask God. But I think a lot of you know, if you really stopped and thought, you'll know what are the things that will cause you to order up a load of gravel. But if you don't, ask God. God, what are the things that will cause me to have sorry soil? Make a list of these and pray about these. I challenge you to make a list and pray about them. Get them out of the way. Now, another thing that will really harm your hearing is sin. Now, this is a little different than we're talking about, and just stay with me for a second. Sin is kind of like earwax. You know, earwax is ugly. It's kind of like earwax, or it's like earplugs. You know, earplugs are good for swimmers. They're really helpful for swimmers. And they're particularly helpful for people who are shooting guns so they don't ruin their ears. At some rock concerts, they'd be helpful so you don't ruin your ears. But earplugs are helpful in certain situations. But they're terrible for the Christian. They're terrible. And you don't want any earplugs this weekend. You want to get the earwax out and pull the plugs out. You don't want to put the plugs in. You want to get them out. And I want to ask you a question. What do you need to get right with God? What is in your life right now that's between you and God and you need to get it right? Whatever that is, you can view that as an earplug. Or some ugly, ugly light brown earwax. That's what it is. Sin's ugly. And that's what it is. And you want to get that out. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is what earwax is between you and God? What sin is between you and God? Now hold that thought for a second. And I also want to ask you is what earwax is between you and others? What sin have you got in your life between you and others that you know you need to get rid of? Or maybe you don't know. Some of you know you've got something against someone and you need to get rid of it. I mean, that's earwax, my friend, and it'll ruin you. I don't think we realize that sin will kill us. It just ruins us. It's a sprained ankle for a sprinter. It's awful, man. You can't maneuver. You know, we kind of hobble along. Hey, ain't too bad. No. I'm still good. I can still walk. But it's awful. But what earwax is between you and somebody else? And you need to get that right. Because if you don't, you're going to need a hearing aid. Because you're not going to hear. It's going to be a barrier. What sin is between you and God? You need to get right. But what sin do you need to get right with someone else? You know, you need to learn to keep short accounts. It's real hard. Now, you may have something between you and someone here, or something that you need to get with right with God, and you've needed to get it right with Him for months. And if you'd have got it right with Him right when it happened, it would have been real easy. But now it's so difficult.